All right, good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here this morning. Glad you're watching online as we are going to kick off a series this morning called Creed, and we'll kind of explain what's going on with this. What are we talking about? Whether you know it or not, a creed is a set of beliefs or aims which guide someone's actions. And while there's different ones that we could look at throughout the years, I want you to know there's actually some that are in our Bibles, in our New Testaments, that the early church proclaimed. They talked about these things over and over again. So when they gathered together, they talked about these things, and you can find them in your Bibles because a lot of times they'll be kind of, you know, indented in. If you have a newer version, they'll be in quotations. And it's not a quote from the Old Testament. It's actually something the early church said together. Now, this is where we're going to be this morning. And probably, okay, some of you are like, he's wearing a Yankee jersey. What the deal? Okay? I want to ask you a question. When did you become a fan of whatever team it is? And maybe you're like, I hate sports. I despise sports. I don't care about sports. Okay? That's fine. That's fine. But for those, and if you're wondering, in the room, we're kind of having, you know, a little team color Sunday, wear a jersey, wear your favorite colors type Sunday. That's my question. When did you become a fan of that team? Or were you like, well, I don't know. My parents are fans. My grandparents are fans. I don't know. I was just born a fan. So some of you may or may not know, I am from the East Coast, and so that's exactly my story. I grew up a Yankee fan, and I can actually prove it. Whether you have one of those parents who kept stuff that you were like, why did you keep that? But for some reason, I have no idea why, my mother decided to keep my world champion shirts from 1978, okay? Now that's small, okay? Now the crazy thing is, okay, they did not win another World Series for 18 years, okay? And it's like, so the next one's really big. But so I do not remember this World Series, okay? I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. I know they won the World Series, and my parents at some point bought me a T-shirt. That's what I know about the 78 World Series, okay? I have always, kind of always, been a fan. Maybe that is your story as well. I don't know. My parents rooted for Iowa, and my grandparents rooted for Iowa, so I root for Iowa, okay? Some of you have that story. You're a fan because that's what it was like growing up in your family. Now, why do I say that? Because for many of us, if we're not careful, faith becomes the same thing. Well, why do you follow Jesus? I don't know. My parents followed Jesus. My grandparents followed Jesus. So I don't know. I don't remember a time not going to church. I grew up in church, went to church all the time. That's just my story. I was just in church all the time. And so we end up, I'm afraid at times, just taking this whole thing of following Jesus for granted. We just do it because, well, we've always done that, and I've always done that, and I've always, my parents did that, my grandparents did that. And it's so similar at times to why we root for the teams we root for and why we have that kind of fandom, because it's all about that. The problem is faith is different. Faith is different. It's not just something, well, I don't know, I grew up in it. Okay, it's different than that. There's actually decisions made. There's actually, I'm following something. I'm following Jesus. And what does that look like? That's what I want to talk about over the next few weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is what we believe, okay, what scholars believe, who are way smarter than me and have way more degrees, is maybe the earliest creed of the early church. Maybe one of the earliest things when the early church gathered together, they said this. They repeated this. And so when Paul's writing a letter later to this church in Corinth, he's like, I want to talk to them about this. You people know this. You've heard this. You talked about this. Do you know that was said from like day one? Day one when the church gathered, they said this. Because they needed a way to simply be reminded over and over again, what is this thing called Christianity all about? What is this thing called following Jesus all about? And sometimes we get such in a mode of I just go to church, I serve, that sometimes I wonder if we're just in this church mode and we don't know why we're following. And we forget what this whole thing's about. And we at times needed to be reminded. I'm really doing this series for all of us who need reminding and for those of you who are wondering what Christianity is all about. So in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's going to write to this church in Corinth, and he's going to take one of these early creeds, maybe the earliest one we have, and he's going to remind them, oh yeah, hey, you already know this, but let's go over this again, because you said this, and I'm going to try to condense it at the end so we understand what it is, and just walk our way through this creed. So here we go. Paul, for I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received. So he's just saying, I'm just passing along to you what I took in. So in other words, Paul would say, faith that I found Christ and it changed everything. And I walked into that first gathering of the early church and they're like, uh-oh, we know who that guy is. That guy's coming to kill us, okay? He's coming to jail us. He's coming to arrest us. And Paul just looked and said, can I take a seat with the rest of you? He learned this creed. He learned this. Because you got to understand, they don't have Bibles. They certainly don't have phones with apps on them. They don't have a way to have access to the scripture. And the New Testament that we know of now is just starting to be written and going out as letters. Even the Old Testament is in the synagogues and it's on scrolls and you don't have access to it every day. So they had to find a way. How do we help everybody understand what this thing called following Jesus is all about? So he says, I've received this. And I'm going to pass it on to you. Here we go. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And if you're ever wondering, you get to that phrase, according to the scriptures, wait a minute. Didn't you say there was no scriptures in the Old Testament? This is basically what this phrase means. As the scriptures predicted. Okay, that's one of the simplest ways to view that. Because otherwise, you'd be like, wait a minute, didn't you just say? Yeah, I did. So they're saying, Paul's writing that in the early church they said, hey, the scriptures predicted this. That would be the Old Testament. And in some translations, if you want the specific, they talk about the prophets predicted this, that Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures predicted, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, or just as the scriptures predicted, just as they said it was going to happen, it happened. Messiah came, Messiah died, Messiah rose again, and it was awesome. And that he appeared to Cephas. Now, I don't know why they use the word Cephas. It's Peter, okay? But they go back, they go and they use his other name here. Then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. That's really important if you ever run across that as you're reading scripture. That when they talked about someone dying in Christ, they knew Jesus, they followed Jesus, they talked about them falling asleep. Because if your Savior has risen from the dead and conquered death, then death certainly is like falling asleep. That's just how they viewed it and want and hoped that every generation down the line following Jesus would view it the same way. So that's what this is, that's what that was, a creed, a set of beliefs or aims which guides someone's actions. That's what it's all about. It wasn't just words. It was words that were designed to now guide and direct their actions. You were supposed to do something, not just recite something. Okay? They didn't show up every Sunday and go, Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He's buried and rose on the third day according to Scripture. Did I get that right? Did I get that right? Did I get all the words correct? That's not what they did it for. They did it to say, okay, now, how does that change the way I live? How does that now affect every other day of the week? How does that affect now as we leave our gathering and we go? And by the way, when they gathered on Sunday morning, Sunday was a work day. So they would gather early and then they would have to work. Okay, so for those of you who are like, man, 10 o'clock's early. Well, I don't know when they met. It was early because they had to then go to work. And that's what they did. And it was like, okay, now here's our creed. That's what we believe. That's what we're following. Now, how's it going to affect me as I walk out the door and go to work? And sometimes we don't think of that. These are all things, beliefs, aims, which are going to guide our actions. So what are we to believe from just that phrase? What are we to believe? And I just want to lay this out so you understand that first, we are sinners. Now, I'm going to get to that word sin in a bit because it's a nice church word at times that we don't define very well for people, okay? That we are sinners. Christ died for our sins. That sin demands a payment. That payment is death. By the way, it's the death of everything. You want to kill certain things. You want to kill a friendship? Just introduce sin. Okay? You want to kill a marriage? Introduce sin. You want to kill lots of things. Okay? Just introduce sin, because sin brings death and ultimately brings eternal death. And yet Jesus paid our debt. He paid our debt, our sins. He didn't sin, we sinned, and he paid our debt. He died for our death. He rose again for our salvation, and he was seen over and over proving he is risen, over and over and over again. 500 people. This is why we always need to start with the resurrection with people, okay? Because we'll argue over things. Well, I want to argue about if there were seven literal days of creation. I want to argue over that the flood ever happened, okay? And let me tell you what's going to happen, especially some of our young people in the room, young people watching. You're going to go to a college, okay? And you're going to have a professor sit there, and he's going to poke holes in. Oh, come on. Seven little days, not going to happen. Oh, a flood? I don't think so. And he's going to sit there, and he's going to poke holes until you doubt what you believe. And he'll never start with the resurrection. You know why? Because Jesus was seen over and over and over and over again. They saw him. They saw him, and it changed everything. That's why they won't start there, because then that changes everything, as we're going to see. So let's just talk about what is sin for a moment, because I love this definition. The vandalizing of God's design for creation in flourishing delight and wholeness. Okay? This is what sin is. Sometimes we just need to think about it a different way. I know we have nice little cute at times definitions, but we need to think about what sin is. It is the vandalizing of God's design for creation. That's why it's really important you understand what is God's design for creation. How did he create the world? And then how does sin, okay, mess up the flourishing of that, the delight of that, and the wholeness of that? Because that's what it does. It vandalizes it. It ruins it. It takes God's creation, God's way of the world functioning, and puts it into dysfunction. That's what sin does. And we should be able to see it, notice it, especially within us, that we are sinners, that Christ came and died so that our sins could be forgiven, and that we could get back on the road to what? Flourishing, delight, and wholeness. That's the mission of what we are supposed to be doing as Christ followers. It isn't, okay, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Okay, get me out of hell, or get me into heaven. I'm done. Now I can just do whatever I want. Oh, this is great. Just live my life like everybody else. No. We're supposed to be live according to flourishing, delight, and wholeness, because that's what Jesus desires for us. And sometimes we're missing out on that. That flourishing, that was God's original design, that thriving, we could say, that delight that he has in providing and doing good things, that the way of following Jesus is good, and it's blessing, and it's wonderful, and you ought to be a part of it, and it's wholeness. It is the part that everybody is searching for and trying to find it in all the wrong places. It is that wholeness. So sometimes we just throw around this word sin, and we don't help people, and we don't define it better, and we're not like, hey, this is what happens with sin, and because of that, we don't help people understand what it's all about. The vandalizing of God's design for creation and flourishing delight and wholeness. That our life post-Jesus, following Jesus, being a part of walking with Jesus, ought to be flourishing delight and wholeness. Now, that doesn't mean, we got to be careful here, right? That doesn't mean follow Jesus and all of a sudden your bank account just grows. It just grows, okay? Because there's way too many people out there that believe that are saying that. Oh, just follow Jesus and everything goes perfect. You have never have any problems. Never any problems, never get sick, right? Let me tell you, if following Jesus meant never having to go to the doctor, we'd be packed, okay? Because everybody would be like, sign me up for that. That would be awesome. But that's a lot of times what we turn it into. Oh, I just followed Jesus. I kind of pull the slot machine and he gives me all this stuff I want. God is not a genie. And Jesus isn't the way to access the genie to get what I want. It is a life of flourishing delight and wholeness that he calls us to. A life with God. A life dwelling with God, as scriptures talk about. See, we must understand both what sin is and that we are both born sinners and sin. We have to understand all of that, or this creed isn't going to make any sense. It's not going to make any sense. Without understanding there's a penalty, that there's death, that Jesus died for something, it's like, well, I guess I don't need any help. I'm fine, you know, just kind of brush the sin off and go on. No, there's a huge penalty. And Jesus came, and God would not give the most valuable thing to him to die if it didn't need to happen. But it did. And our sin then is covered, and it is taken away. We put our trust and hope in Jesus. As I would say, Jesus died in our place and rises again for our salvation. And he was seen over and over and over again. And as I've told you before, because this is so key to what I was talking about earlier, if someone predicts their own death and resurrection and pulls it off, you go with whatever they say. Now, see, this is a much better way of thinking about it, isn't it? Than letting a college professor sitting there and going, you know, in Leviticus, you're not supposed to eat shrimp. And if you eat shrimp, you can't follow Jesus. And I'm serious. It's happening all the time. Our kids are going into college going, oh, I think I'm okay. I think I'm following Jesus. And they're leaving agnostic. Why? Because some professor, because he can, he's sitting there and poking holes in places like Leviticus and Judges. And not once is he saying, hey, whatever happens with a guy who predicts his own death and resurrection and pulls it off. Let's get our kids there and start there, because it builds a much better foundation for them, a much better foundation. Now it's not, well, what about creation? I don't know. I'm going to go with Jesus. Jesus says there were Adam and Eve. Jesus says God created everything. Okay, and he predicted his own death and resurrection and pulled it off. I'm just going to go with him. Okay, I'm going to go with him. I know you probably have some argument and you can poke some holes in whatever, but I'm going with him. See how much far better than trying to have seminars and teaching all the right arguments, okay? Because an argument never convinced anybody, okay? It never convinced anybody. Relationship is what changes everything. And helping people connect with who God is and helping them understand, listen, everything is based on the resurrection. Everything is settled because of the resurrection. And it changed everything, and it's changing everything. And I want to remind us, we got to go back to that. We have to stake some ground in that. And a lot of times we'll just drift and we'll kind of be lost somewhere and get caught up in the weeds sometimes of arguing things like Leviticus. Okay. I will tell you, I went to Bible college. I don't know if I fully understand Leviticus at all. Okay. It's hard. And you're going to get there every year when you're reading. If you try to do the Bible through a year, and you're going to be like, what in the world? Okay? And it's all code. It's all important. Okay? I'm telling you, if you let somebody drag you down into that and you forget about the resurrection, you are going to miss the power of what Jesus has done for us. So my question is, what do you believe? Because faith always leads to action. It always leads to action. This is why they said this creed. It wasn't, hey, if we say this creed enough, we're okay. Nope. It's not, hey, if we say this enough in church, we say it every Sunday, God will really love us. Nope. Hey, if we say this every Sunday, we'll get lots of blessings and people will get, nope, nope. If we say this every Sunday, it will help us to remember who we are, what Jesus has done for us, what we believe, and then when we walk out the doors, probably of the home they were meeting in, and head to work, and head into our homes, and head into our neighborhoods, we're going to live that out. Because faith always leads to action. By the way, because of what's happening this afternoon, okay? The first action that many took was to be baptized to show their belief. Okay? Now, you need to understand, at times, we just kind of lose track, okay? About what was going on. And so right now, my son is over in Lincoln, okay, associate pastor. His pastor is in Israel right now, okay? And so he's sending back pictures, and he took a picture of the Jordan River, okay? And my son's reaction was, Dad, that thing looked disgusting, okay? And like so, and they go, Stephen, go back to the Old Testament, read the story of Naaman. Because that's what Naaman said. Wait a minute. If I'm going to get clean of my leprosy, I'm not going in that thing, okay? I said, so obviously it hasn't changed over the years, okay? And he's just like, oh my goodness, okay? And so we go back to those scenes in Scripture where John the Baptizer, who before Jesus died and rose again, was literally that people would go down into the Jordan, okay? They would be baptized, and they would show everybody by doing that, I'm walking in this way. This is the way I used to live, and John's called me to repent, so now I'm walking in this way. That's why they did that, okay? That is why they did that. So the early church adopts their simple baptism, this simple, this is how I used to be, now I'm going to follow Jesus, and now you all are witnesses that I'm following Jesus, and I'm going in this direction. That's where baptism is so different at times than what we put on it. It is why it's the first action. It was to show their belief. It was always the start, never the end of the beginning of walking with Jesus. It wasn't the end. Oh, get baptized in heaven. High five. It's over. Right? This is great. Now I can do whatever I want. That's not the purpose of baptism. Okay? It's not to do that. It's to simply say, I made a decision. And what's so cool about learning people's stories is I did it youth group, okay? I did it at Rock on Wednesday night. Did it at camp, whether that was kids camp or tri-state. I did it there. Some of your stories, it was a family member. After church one Sunday, I was talking to somebody. You have a story that ties to that, okay? And it's good to remember that story now to say, because we don't know your story for the most part, okay? Belief is not just like written right, like my big NY, okay? It's just not there. So you're like, well, I don't know. You go to church. Now, Jesus says we should know you by your fruits, but how do you begin that way? How do you start? The start was baptism. Hey, I used to be this way, but I'm following Jesus, and I'm going a new direction, and I want all of you to know it. It was never the end. It was always the beginning. It was always the start of what it looks like to walk with Jesus, which is why as we do that today, I think right now we have three people. If you want to do that, if you've never been baptized, okay, you don't have to wait. You can just let me know after church, and, you know, it's not that cold out today, okay? It's not that cold out. It's going to be okay. Angie's a little worried, like, Ed, you haven't been in my pool, okay? Well, I know Angie's not getting in. That's my job, right? And Pastor Ryan, it's our job to freeze, okay? That's what we get paid the money for, right? But you can do that today. You don't have to wait, okay? You can be like, I want everyone to know that I'm following Jesus. It's the way I used to live. It's the way I live now. And I'm following Jesus. It's putting our belief actually into action. That's what it is. We're simply putting our faith into action. And I don't know about you, okay? But let me go back to where I started, okay? I do not remember the day that this came out, okay? I don't. I don't remember anything about that. Now, the beauty of YouTube is you can relive the whole 78 World Series, okay? So I can be like, nah, I don't remember that. I mean, I probably slept through most of it, okay? That's just the way it was, okay? I don't remember any of it, okay? Just know that I've been that my whole life. And if I'm not careful, that's the mode I get into. That's the mode I get into. Why? Because at 6 years old, my grandma led me to Christ. And if I'm not careful, I will just live off of what used to be. And, well, I've always, my parents always, my grandparents always, okay? They always went. They always served. I could go back to my grandmother, my dad's mom, who was a part of and volunteered all the time for the Salvation Army. Yeah, but she volunteered for that all the time, okay? My dad, who actually went to training school for the Salvation Army, ultimately left and did other things, started that way, said, well, see, he got it. So, and just resting off of something else. Faith doesn't rest on something else or something that you just did, or I've always gone to church, I've always been around things, I've always had a Bible, Okay? See, those are all true. And if I'm not careful, and some of you might have noticed this too in your own life. If I'm not careful, I just start coasting. And that's always bad. I don't know about you, that's always bad. It's just bad. It's always bad because you always get off track. Okay? It's never neutral. You're always going to get off track. You're always going to slide away because you're always relying on something else, not meeting Jesus afresh and anew every day by opening his word, by prayer, and by understanding all that he has done for us. So this is just a reminder for me, and I'm hoping a reminder for many of you, why you began to follow Jesus. Because I don't know, it's been a long time, almost as old as this shirt. And it's just really easy just to coast and go, yeah, I've always. But the early church didn't leave it to that. And we have so many more resources than they did. So many more resources than they did. We have scripture on our phone. We have reading plans we can do. You know, we can have our phone beep at us and say, read your Bible. Okay? We can do all this stuff to make sure the text gets into our lives. And then we can hear it and start doing something about it. Living didn't have any of that. So when they gathered, they said this together. And hopefully it would help them to remember the day they started following Jesus. Maybe the moment they were baptized and say, it's the way I used to live. And now I'm going in this brand new direction. But that's what they did. So I kind of reduced it down to this simple thing. Okay? Some of the other stuff with 500 people in that, I don't know if that was part of it. That's kind of in it. But this is the gist of what they would say together. So I'm going to ask us to pretend it's about 36 AD, okay? We're meeting in a house together, and we start that early morning off, because I don't think coffee was invented yet, so I don't know what they did, okay, to meet together so early and be ready to go, okay? But they got together, and they would say this. I want us to pretend it's 36 AD, and we're in a house together. And we're gonna begin by saying this. So I'm going to ask us to stand, because we're going to stand for worship anyway, and our worship team can come up, because I'll pray after we're done. And I want us just to say these words together, just to think about, man, what if the early church started this way? It just helped them to remember what their faith was all about and what it was like following Jesus. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Christ died for our sins and was buried. He is risen from the dead and was seen. May those words just get cemented into our lives and our hearts, and may in turn it cause us to live different and do something different in our lives. Let's pray. This morning, Father, I would just ask that you would help us. Because, Lord, it's just so easy to cruise and to rest on what decision we made years ago. That we'd always been in church, always followed, always read our Bibles. But we're missing this life with you. Because we just kind of put it in cruise control at some point and kept moving down the road. But there is no cruise control of life with you. So I pray, Father, that these next couple weeks of just being reminded of the things the early church said before the Bible was there, for the New Testament, for the letters, that they would gather, they would say this, they'd be reminded of what it was all about. That you died for our sins and you rose again for our salvation. And what it would look like, that what would change in our lives if we would build our life for the flourishing and the wholeness you desire and want to do in us. If we'd build our lives upon that, how it would affect everything that we would do. That's what I pray would get cemented and grounded and pushed into our hearts and lives. So, Father, as we get ready to sing an incredible song, Amazing Grace, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that we would just be reminded of your incredible grace and what you've done for us. And that today is a great day. If we've never, today is a great day. Decision. Today's a great day to get baptized and say we're ready to take that next step and show everybody that we are following Jesus. So help us work in and through our lives as we lift up this song as a reminder of what you've done in our lives and what you want to do in every single heart and life. We pray all this in Jesus' name.